Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP, Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories with writer Kitty Mayo, who, as we record this Thursday morning, is on the road answering one of the calls of life. Good morning, Kitty. I'm assuming that things are going reasonably well.
Yes, they are, Tom. Thanks for being flexible while I head down to the city to attend a family funeral for my great uncle.
Okay. That is part of life, and it's always a surprise when it happens. I'm glad that you're seem to be doing reasonably well with this situation and circumstance. But let's attend to business. Although interrelationships is business too, but this is of the news. The piece is about a North Shore resident who was killed recently by a rock through the windshield of her vehicle. What do you got?
Yeah, Tom, this is a very sad tragedy that happened just last Friday, May 5th. Kay Spielman, who is a 46-year-old woman, who resides in Cook County, so a North Shore neighbor to us, was driving southbound, just entering Two Harbors right at Park Road, just before Park Road and Highway 61, when a very large rock the size of a softball struck her windshield. I don't know a lot of details other than the fact that she died later that evening or the next day. She was air transported to Duluth. And I do also know from Two Harbors Police Chief Rick Hoganson that there a lot of people tried to help her after that accident occurred. I think it's important to tell the community that the police department is not investigating this as though it was a purposeful event, that there's no safety, public safety issue at hand here. However, in a press conference earlier this week, I did ask Chief Hoganson if they were investigating the possibility that a hauling truck had not properly secured its load, and he said that is one of the questions they're looking into, Tom.
Ah, yes. I kind of thought about that after a while myself. That's a fair-sized rock for a person to be chunking, so I know there are some highway cameras operating at the intersection with the state road there, and so I imagine they'll be looking at records of north of upbound and downbound traffic there, and we shall probably hear more as the story moves on. It is a shock when something like this happens in a small town like Two Harbors, but let's move on here. Carrying naloxone saves lives. This is a story by Chance Lasher.
Yeah, I'm really happy to have this story this week. Chance Lasher is an intern with Wilderness Health, which is a conglomerate of healthcare agencies throughout northeastern and northwestern Minnesota, including Lakeview Hospital and Clinics and Two Harbors and Silver Bay. And I tasked him with finding out the details and communicating them well and clearly, which he did a great job of doing, about naloxone, sometimes called Narcan, which can be used as a treatment to stop an opioid overdose. And it's been deemed really important that Lake County residents, all of us, know about this, have access to it, and know how to use it in case we are present when someone's respiration is failing in the case of an opioid overdose. So that's really great information that people should have.
Excellent. And so this piece is done by an intern or
yes.
Oh, well,
Chance
excellent.
Lasher is the intern who's working, helping out, doing some writing for the Lake County Press.
Well, excellent. So you're not only a member of the Fourth Estate, but you're helping educate the young people in our community as well. I like it. Our next piece is from Katya Gordon talking about pool access troubles here in town.
Right. This has been a story that's a long time coming. Katya talked to so many people, and I hope it's not the end of this story. The summary is that pools at hotels, in resorts, in the Two Harbors general area, used to allow residents of the area to come in during their off hours, pay a small amount of money, maybe, you know, $3, $4, $5, and use their pool and their facilities when they weren't busy. That ended during the pandemic, of course. After the pandemic, none of the area hotels or resorts are allowing that to reoccur. And it was a great service, not only for older people, people with disabilities, and also for people receiving therapy from agencies like Bodies and Balance. So we're hoping the conversation can continue and that there might be some change. In Silver Bay, the American does still allow this to happen. They're really into supporting the community. So we're hoping this is just the beginning of the story and that there might be some changes going forward.
Yes, I'm acquainted with at least one of the principals in the Silver Bay American, and that person is very socially connected to the community. And so I would expect that corporate decisions in Two Harbors will eventually come to some kind of an arrangement that will allow them to serve the community like they had in the past. This is a resource that's kind of off the books in a way, you know, because there's no public legislation about it. This is strictly coming out of the boardrooms, and I hope that it will get sorted. This is going to be an excellent story. Thank you. Lake County is approving a 3% cap on short-term rentals in the county areas that are not governed by city governments like Two Harbors and Silver Bay and Beaver Bay.
That is correct. So they're proposing it. It's a done deal. The Lake County Board of Commissioners did pass a resolution to changing their ordinance on short-term rentals to begin a cap of 3% of the existing housing stock. And they broke it out by townships and unorganized territories. So there's a real specific number for each area. There's some exceptions. Fall Lake lobbied long and hard to be exempted from that, and they have been. Inland Lakes are not allowed to have any additional short-term rentals on their shoreline, and there's some commercial areas in Knife River that also are exempted from this, although there's a number of other issues that are ongoing. You can read about it in the article. It's long detailed. Those of us who are into understanding short-term rentals are kind of intrigued by all of it.
Oh, sure. Well, Fall Lake, as some people may or may not realize, is very close to Ely, and so there will be significant tourist traffic and interest in that area. So I can understand their exemption for the Fall Lake area, and similarly to the area around Knife River. Our final piece, at least on our schedule here, regards the Two Harbors City Council this past week. They've been very busy. There's a project out in Seagog. There's a proposed apartment development area. There is action on the hemp-derived THC moratorium. My, they have been busy. Do tell.
Yeah, boy, have they. We're not going to fit it all in, but we'll touch on each of them. The Seagog parcel of land that is currently being talked about and looked at has to do with the Two Harbors Housing and Redevelopment Authority, HRA, working out a really neat project with the Two Harbors High School shop students and instructor there, whereby the high school students would, in this coming term, next fall, build a modular house indoors in their shop and then move it to the site in Seagog that's proposed to have this on, and it could hold up to three houses. It is already zoned residential. It was formally thought to belong to the county, and the county was working very rapidly to convey the land to the Two Harbors HRA for this project. Somehow things got confused. The books weren't straightened out quite right, and it turned out it belongs to the city of Two Harbors. That threw a monkey wrench into things and made everything kind of move sideways. But where things stand right now, Tom, is that the Two Harbors City Council looked at this issue last Monday, did not come to a conclusion, decided to move it to the Parks and Rec Board for discussion and recommendation, and the Finance Commission. Both of those meetings look like they've been scheduled and are on the books. the end of the Two Harbors Council meeting on this note, there was an agreement that this must be expedited so that this project didn't lose ground. There's some details to be worked out yet. So that's the short story on that one, believe it or not. The next one that we were going to talk about is a proposed development. PNR is the company. There was a presentation made by one of their principals, Dante Tomasoni, who came before the council on Monday and said, hey, we want to build an apartment building of 50 units, which would include studio, one bedroom and two bedroom, with a range of $900 to $2,400 per unit for rent. We're looking at, what about the golf course on the end of the golf course, sort of towards Highway 61, closest to the lake? We think that might be a good spot if you could help us work it out. He indicated they would also be asking the city for other things like tax abatement or something to that effect that would help them get this project done and stay in budget and make it a worthwhile campaign for them. He also said that if this went well and filled up, they'd consider building another one in Two Harbors. I thought it was really intriguing that they are particularly focused on high efficiency. He talked about that quite a bit. I think that's a pretty important piece of this. And seemed pretty squared away in a lot of regards. So that's something that we can watch for. And then the third topic that I think was of interest, which is a big deal that I've always thought shouldn't be a big deal, but they finally got it done, and that was the one-year moratorium that had been placed on hemp-based CBD products has been, or THC products, has been lifted. As we know, they are already allowed in the state. They have been for some time. Two Harbors immediately put a ban on that. They're the only one in the county of any municipality that banned those products, and lots of other people have been selling them. So that's been lifted, much to the relief of area business owners that are hoping to bring in THC beverages to their liquor establishments right as the season for tourists is starting up. So that got done.
Oh, yes. That is actually a big deal, considering that we are a community which is getting more and more of its revenue from our seasonal visitors. And so we need to be able to serve our visitors as the areas in the county outside the city already do. And so that's huge. The housing project is another big one. I had read that it was going to be, market rate housing, but then find out that some of the rents on some of the units might be as low as $900 a month, which is, I think, probably, considering going rental rates, that's almost considered affordable, And
yeah.
So, of course, I'm an older guy, and when I think of spending that kind of money per month on rent, I do go into a kind of a trembling shock here. I think, my God, that's a lot of Benjamins. But I guess apparently it is not as much as it was years ago. I'm looking forward to learning more about this. And so thanks for that, Kitty. Is there anything else that you really think that you want to get out? I realize you're trying to operate a steering wheel at the same time, so...
There's always more to this story, Tom, but I'll save it for next week.
Okay. Well, very good then. Thank you, Kitty. Drive on, drive on, drive on. To our listeners out there at home, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the radio again next week. And to you, Kitty, as well, thank you, and drive safe.
Thank you, Tom. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.